Hey gang, are you in the music industry in Austin? You're trying to find a way to navigate these tricky waters, how to get involved? Well, let me tell you about the Austin Music Foundation. Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit whose mission is to strengthen and connect Austin's music community with innovative programs that empower music professionals and Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to succeed in the Austin music industry. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org and get involved now. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here are your hosts.
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. Amanda Ceballos is back on the show. Yeah, man. She's back. She's got an album out called Got Me Where You Want Me, which she actually put it out last year, but right when she put it out, her mom got very sick and she had to go take care of her. And then her mom ended up passing away and she had to back out of a lot of promotional things. But now she's back. She's out there. She's got her band, Amanda Ceballos and the High Hands. And they're out there promoting the record, Got Me Where You Want Me, which is available digitally on CD and also on vinyl, which she was kind enough to bring me a copy of. So we have a great conversation and catch up on what's been going on with her for the last couple of years since the last time she was on the show. You can see her in Austin. If you're here, she'll be playing the Austin Music Foundation Wind Down on June 29th, which is great, man. That place, it takes place at the new 310, the ACL Moody Theater, like smaller room, and it's downstairs from the ACL Moody Theater. If you're in Austin, get out to that on June 29th. It's free. Go to the austinmusicfoundation.org to find out all the details, okay? We'll be talking to Amanda Ceballos in just a second. You can find her at amandaceballos.com. And check out her album, Got Me Where You Want Me. Great album. All right? That's coming up in just a second. Let me tell you what's going on with me. I had a long weekend of shows with Skyrocket. My voice is kind of showing it. I think I'm also allergic to molds, and molds are high since it's been raining so much. The molds are high, and I think I'm allergic to them. But I did have a great weekend playing with Skyrocket. We played a new place on Friday, a place that we've never played before, a place called Mercer Street Dance Hall in Dripping Springs, Texas. It's actually booked by my very first manager, Chris Harkness, who was my manager in 1989. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, we still get to work together. And then it's owned, I didn't find this out until I got there, but it's owned by a really good friend of mine that I've known for at least 20-something years. His name is Nick Doten, and he was in a band called The Panic Choir that my band, Mr. Rockababy, used to do a lot of shows with, and we were kind of friends, like a, you know, band friends back in the 90s. Anyway, it was great. The show was fantastic. Tons of people came out, over 200 people. I want to thank everyone for coming out. People came from San Antonio. People came from Austin. People came from all over to see the band. We even had some music celebs there. Savannah Welch from the Trishas was there. Celeste, who runs Continental Club, was there. It was a mutual friend of all of ours' birthday, so they all celebrated out at that show with us, which was really nice. Nice to catch up with everyone. Kurt Newman from the Bodines and his family came out. It was great. It was a fantastic show. Tons of people. Great energy. The place is fantastic. I'm looking forward to playing there again. And then Saturday, Zuri and I packed it up and went to Houston, and we went to my cousin's engagement party at my grandma's house, and then I went and played at the Continental Club with Skyrocket afterwards. Great show there, too. Totally sold out. Fantastic show. Extremely hot in there when we were playing. Man, I was dripping sweat. Dripping fucking sweat. I mean, I was dripping so much sweat that the guy that works with the band went back and got a towel filled with ice that I could rub on my head because my face was kind of turning red. I was overheating. It was a hot show. It was a hot show. Anyway, it was a great show. We had a great time playing. Zuri and I got up Sunday morning. Went to my grandma's house and had breakfast with my grandma and my aunts. My cousin's engagement party on Saturday was a lot of fun. I got to see a lot of my little baby cousins. All of my cousins were there to celebrate my cousin Jennifer's engagement to her new fiancé, Ryan. Nice guy. They're nice people. And it was a very nice party. My grandma and my aunts really went out of their way to make it really nice. So congratulations to Jennifer and Ryan. Congratulations to the whole family. I did feel like crap like the whole day on Saturday. My stomach was all funky. That's always terrible when you got a show to play. You know it's a big show and people got babysitters and people made plans for like over a month to go there. And they got together with friends and they went out to dinner and they got a designated driver and all this stuff. And you're like, oh no, I don't want to poop while I'm singing. But nothing bad happened. Everything was taken care of before the show. But that's a reality, man. You can't. Singing and playing a show when you're sick to your stomach is absolutely one of the most difficult things you can possibly do, I think. It's really hard. It's very uncomfortable. It's disconcerting. You're worried on a level that's very strange because there's an entire room of people that are staring with you. You're standing at the end of the room with lights on you, and you're scared you're going to crap in your pants while you're singing Hot Child in the City. That is a frightening thought. It did not happen to me. It's never happened to me, knock on wood. Because I don't, you heard me actually knock on wood, because I do not want that to happen. You don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to you. We don't want it to happen to anyone, even our worst enemies, okay? All right, hey, that's a weird conversation to segue into my conversation with the singer-songwriter, my friend Amanda Ceballos. Her album, Got Me Where You Want Me, is out. It's also available on vinyl. Go to AmandaCeballos.com. Go check out her band, Amanda Ceballos and the High Hands. They will be playing on June 29th at the Wind Down here in Austin. It's the Austin Music Foundation Mixer. Go to AustinMusicFoundation.org to find out more about Wind Down and how to get in. Go to AmandaCeballos.com to find out all you can about Amanda Ceballos and when she's coming to a town near you. Okay, I hope you're having a great day, whatever it is you're doing, and enjoy my conversation with singer-songwriter Amanda Ceballos. Let's get down.
Ready, ain't ready for love like mine. Every other girl makes his cold heart shine. He said he loves me, but I think that's a lie.
Hey, so I love your album that I've been listening to today.
Thank you.
The name got me confused, Got Me Where You Want Me, and then I was like, oh, that's really clever.
Oh, you mean, oh, okay, why were you confused?
I just, like...
You're like, what does that mean?
It's like, I think it's got you where I want you. You know what I mean? When you first see something and it's wrong,
mm-hmm.
you think of it as wrong, it registers in your mind as wrong, not that somebody else is actually clever. So
okay.
Oh, enjoy this. Okay, so you have it on vinyl, by the way. Thank you for the vinyl.
You're welcome.
Always appreciate it. What made you go with vinyl?
We just kind of knew we were going to do that from the beginning, so we recorded everything for it. Just we tried to make the tracks, the rhythm tracks. Everything was live, and we kind of punched everyone else in.
Okay.
Except for my vocal, we did that later when we transferred it over to digital. But we kind of knew what we were. That we were going for that. So we just kind of tailored the whole record for vinyl.
You know what? I really like Brennan Lee.
The what?
I like Brennan Lee.
Me too. Yeah, she's on the record. She's amazing.
Yeah, I just saw that. And Eldridge co-produced it with James Hyland. And Eldridge has been playing with you for a while?
Yeah. A couple years now. We went on the road together to New York City, me, him, and Jimmy Dreams. And when we got back, we were pretty much a band, so we decided to get some more cats, and about a year after that, we were ready to record a record, so that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, and so they're called the High Hands.
Yeah, I told
Amanda Ceballos and the High Hands.
Yeah, they're like, well, what are we? I'm like, I don't know. I'm Amanda Ceballos. Y'all can be whatever y'all want.
So, you let them choose?
Yeah,
I've never been that nice.
Well, I really just wanted them to kind of be something that... of their own, like, you know, their own thing. So, like, they can go off.
Because it is a band. You don't, it's not like,
no.
It's like a band.
Well, you know, every once in a while, Eldridge and I need a break, so he'll go off.
Are you guys intertwined?
Yeah, we are.
In ways more than just music?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can tell by that video.
Long time.
Jeez.
Yeah, 4 years now. But so.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys going out last time you were on the show?
We were just starting to kind of. Okay. We were just starting to see each other probably in 2012.
He's a nice guy. I really like him, and I respect his work a lot.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
this is his baby, this little project. So, but every once in a while we need a break. And so when he decides that he's going to go off and do his own thing for a while, I will have other drummers. But for the most part, it's the same band. It's us four, me, Jimmy Dreams, Danny Hawk, and Vance Hazen.
Okay. So,
yeah. It's nice, too, to have a band.
Yeah.
Because you have a real sound.
Yeah, you do. You have a sound. It's not like, oh, this guy shows up. I hope he knows the bridge
right.
to
exactly.
that song.
Right. Yeah.
And I hope he knows at least half of them. I hate right. that feeling.
I do, too.
I hate watching a band that's in that. I mean, unless that's what they're going for. Like, hey, let's see if we can do this.
I mean, I sometimes doubt that's what awesome. They're going for.
Well, no, but like, you know how, like, have you seen Moon Pie, that band that Michael Ramos and George Reef and these guys have? They do a, they just do total improv at
cool
at the gallery. And then Nakia, sometimes he just comes up and sings. Although I think Nakia has words. I don't think he's making them up
yeah.
that fast.
That would be
nothing
cool,
against Nakia. He is great, right. but I don't think he's a magician.
yeah.
I just had your friend Jonathan Terrell on here.
Oh, that's a very good friend of mine.
Yeah, I love that guy.
No, so do I. I like really... writing with him.
Yeah.
He'll,
did you
he's
write
fun.
With him for this record at all?
No, not
you
for this one.
You did for the last one.
But I did for the last one. Yeah. And, you know, every once in a while we'll get together and write. But he can just write anything. He doesn't even, I'll be like, God, I don't know what to say. He's like, let's write that. And I'm like, no, don't write that. So
that's kind of good.
He'll just, you know, anything you're saying, or you won't even know you're writing with him. And all of a sudden he's like writing something down and then you're writing.
Do you write with other people a lot?
Is yeah. That... not a lot, but I just wrote a song with Will Knack.
Oh, I love that guy. Wow.
Yeah. And it's called All My Boyfriends. It was really funny to see Will Knack singing All My Boyfriends. And he was just really going for it too. He's like, he didn't care. But I was like, I have this one song. It's called All My Boyfriends. I kind of have a chorus. And he had never co-written with anybody. I was the first person he ever co-wrote with.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it is an awesome song. I mean, it's one of my favorite songs I've ever written. And it's a co-write, which is rare for me because I don't mind co-writing, but it doesn't always end up like on stage. Or And we're going to record that one. So
when did this record come out?
It came out.
Last year?
It came out last year, yeah. But, you know, I was going through a lot last year. I was losing my mom.
Oh.
Yeah. So I didn't want to... This thing came out and I was just like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to focus on my mother right now. I'm going to go spend some time with my mom. And I put it out, but...
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah. I put it out, but I didn't really do anything more because I felt almost guilty. So now I'm like kind of not re-releasing it, but now I'm kind of focusing on it, so... I'm a little behind, but that's okay. It was worth it.
How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling a lot better now. I'm feeling more grown up.
What happened to you? Like, was your mom sick for a while?
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, she wasn't. All of a sudden got sick. Oh. And she got like a sore in her mouth and it started to get like bigger and it was like black. And she didn't really say anything. She was pretty private as far as like not feeling well and stuff. So she really didn't say much. But then all of a sudden... She wouldn't go anywhere. My aunt called my sister and said, you need to come up here. Something's wrong with your mom. I don't know what's wrong, but you need to come up here. So my sister got there and she saw this thing in her mouth. She was like, you're going to the hospital. Took her to the hospital. Within 24 hours, they were like, she has cancer.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and it was too late.
Was she like she's like one of those old school people. Like, I'll walk it off.
Yeah,
that
she
black
just
thing
was just, real healthy. Yeah, that black
I'll
thing.
Just use more Listerine. I'm not making fun of your mom.
No, I know, but
there's people like that.
There is people like that, and she kept when we got there to her house. She had all this medicine for your mouth. She had went and got everything you can
she
imagine.
She went and got everything over there. She didn't want to go to the guy.
No, and then when she did, it was quick. And then 6.5 months later, she was dead. It was quick. And it was exactly when I was putting this record out.
That's a long time, though, 6.5 months.
Yeah, man. I couldn't believe she'd even, considering I get sick for like one day and I'm the biggest baby on the planet, like I can't believe she even lasted 6.5 months with like chemo and, you know, and I mean, it was ugly. It was disgusting. I hate cancer and I hate chemotherapy. I don't believe in it. I begged her not to do it, but she wanted to and... I don't know. I was like, can't you just like laugh it off? They have laughing. They say you can laugh cancer away. I was like, I was trying to come up with anything. I was like, there's got to be something we can do. Like, why don't you just change your diet? I mean, I was pretty delusional about it. But
I mean, they do this. They always know. They don't have a set day. I'm sorry. We're in the middle of this heavy conversation about your mom's.
It's all good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's okay.
So, when did she pass?
October 14th. So
it's my birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she, I think it was October 14th. Yeah. So it's only been, this hasn't been that long, but I'm doing a lot better than I was. Before, I couldn't even talk about her or even bring her up. But I went through like a, probably for the first 4 months where there wasn't, like, I just pretty much cried the whole day.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Yeah.
And like Mother's Day wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. But I'm feeling a lot better about it now. I just feel like, there's just times when I want to call her, like when this Telluride thing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to call her and she wouldn't have understood what that meant. But right. She would have been, oh, that's so sweet. You know,
I understand.
Yeah.
I have that just, with my grandma. Like, I exactly. get excited about something, I tell her, and yeah, I'm like, why am I even doing this?
Yeah.
Because she didn't know.
One time I told her and my aunt about, I was like, I was filming them. I was like, I'm filming y'all for my blog. She goes, you're what?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, it's this thing. And they go, oh. They had no idea what I was talking about. So when I call her and tell her things that, like, happened, she's like, that's great. You know, mija, she doesn't know what I'm talking about, but she knows I'm excited, so she's excited.
Right.
I just wanted to tell her.
I had this feeling when you said that I've had a crazy year and your band had put up with you for the last year.
Yeah.
With being crazy. I thought you were going to come in with some kind of scandalous kind of like thing that I was going to be like, whoa.
Well, you know, it was hard for them to have to watch me go through that because I was, well, there was some things that happened. Like, you know, I just like wouldn't even come to a show. I just wouldn't go. I just wouldn't, didn't want to be.
Did you cancel them or you just didn't? You just
I
just didn't
wouldn't
go?
Show up. Whoa. Yeah, it was bad. And, you know, they...
Were you just in so much sorrow, just such a sad place
yes.
that you couldn't...
I just, like, it was anxiety. It was a lot of stuff. It was just... I was just having a really hard time. And then I was also going through some other stuff on top of that that was pretty intense for me. So I was just having a tough year, you know? And then to top it off, my mom was sick. So it was just like... And it was weird. It was like... It was almost like I knew she was going to, I just knew it. So I spent as much time as I could with her. But at the same time, I was having a really hard time getting myself together just to even be around her. And then she would come home from the hospital when I would come home. She didn't want to see me to her to see her, for me to see her like that. So she would get out of the hospital and go home when I would come up. So it would be really hard because she needed to be in the hospital. So I would have to like really watch her all night long. Me and my sister up, we'd be up all night trying to keep her temperature down. So there was just a lot of stuff that I was dealing with, and my band really, you know, I can't believe they didn't quit. I'll just put it that way. And I'm very, very grateful for them, and they're amazing. They're family. They're really close friends of mine, so I'm very thankful. I'm writing a song about that right now.
You are?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thanking them kind of in a way. It doesn't say that throughout the song, but at the very end, it kind of says something like that.
That's nice.
Yeah. And I don't know if I would have done it. I have such a short temper. Somebody pisses me off, I'm like, screw you forever. I'm kidding.
Do you have a short temper?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got like a Latin, you
know,
temper.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got that like fiery side where I just like,
you
know?
Yell at people
no,
in the audience?
No.
I went to see you once at the Broken Spoke.
Did I yell at you?
No. No, you were real nice. You gave me a t-shirt.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right on.
You were not mean to me.
I like to give away my merch.
Just trying to make a living out here. You can hear my album on Spotify, and I'll give you...
Yeah.
No, over. You gave it to me because you were going to do the show, and I'd come to see you. You were just being nice.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
It's one of the perks of the job of having a podcast.
I'm sure you've got tons of stuff.
Yeah. I just got a new album and CD from Amanda Ceballos.
That's awesome.
So tell me about this album. Because the last time you were on was right when you had put out your last album, which I'm drawing a blank on the name.
I'll Never Honky Tonk You, 2012.
Okay. All right, you're a honky tonk musician.
I think so. I mean, this is a little more artist. Of a. This is honky tonk mixed with, Eldridge calls it poppy tonk because it's catchy, kind of poppy, but it's also really country.
Yeah.
So that's what he calls it.
Is that what you? How do you identify yourself with the current? With the current climate of country music that we like, mainstream country music, do you find yourself not living in that same world as those people?
No, but I feel like they're the paths are crossing of like this Nashville country music. And I think it's just the difference is Texas country music. The Texas country is like super, like some of it's the red dirt, but then you've got like the honky tonk, like me and Brennan Lee and people like that are just doing like songs.
Who else? Name some, Dale Watson.
Yeah, and Dale
Watson.
That's a
guy.
Yeah.
I mean, people he's like a honky tonk guy.
Yeah. That are just doing like more of a traditional country, I guess.
Yeah.
So
And songs you can dance to.
Exactly. That's what country I think it dance. Is. It's more dancing song yeah. music than, I don't know. I watch different shows or I'll do some research on different artists and just kind of check out what they're up to. And they'll be like, yeah, you know, I just want to be more like country and not so that. And then they hear the song and it's like super commercial. It's like, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't know what some people think is country. It, to me, isn't. And so I don't know.
I went through this a couple of years ago when I saw like the CMAs. I mean, I know what's happening with our friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in Texas country, I don't know what's happening in Nashville. Right. So when I see one of those shows, I'm just like, who the fuck is that guy? And why is he the, you know, and it was Luke Bryan who I was most like offended by,
yeah.
you know, just his, it was just stupid. And yeah.
That's nice, putting it nicely.
Yeah. And one segment was like, I think I'm right when I say it was like Vince Gill, Taylor Swift, and some other girl.
I love Vince Gill.
And they just three of them were playing, and one guy was playing like a guitar, the other one was playing a mandolin. They were playing like instruments that people play in country music. And finally, when I was watching that, I was like, oh, I love country music. Then I went through this whole battle in my head of like, what's my problem? Maybe it's me. Maybe I don't want country music to get out of this thing that I think it should be.
Right.
Maybe it should be a phaser on a banjo. Whatever the hell Luke Bryan's doing over there.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what it is.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
It is terrible. That's the bottom line, is whether he's cutting new ground or not. It's very bad.
It is. I don't think it's cutting new ground at all. I think that they're just, it's a formula. And they're just following yeah. this thing, like what sells. Because as far as the industry is concerned, country music is making the most money, you know, as far as the artists and the touring
right.
and all that. And they're right. they're making more money than anyone else, than hip hop, than rap, than all that.
So what are happening to people like Dale Watson? He's a very well-known guy.
Yeah. I think that Dale is building he already has it, but
how
like
do
a cult
know
following. Because he tours relentlessly. That's how you get figured out. I don't know. I feel like,
is that what you do? You
I'm about to. Okay. That's what I'm gonna do. I mean, that's what I want to do. So I'm working toward just being on the road all the time. Because
you have a booking agent, right?
No.
I saw someone on your website.
Oh yeah. Well, I work with the Text Maniacs. Who manages the Text Maniacs? Jay Garza.
Okay.
So he's managing me. He's helping me out, and so he'll throw me some cool gigs and stuff like that. But he's not like, you know, I'm
actively
not just
booking
exclusive.
Every day doing
exactly.
Your thing. Okay.
And I mean, if anybody's doing that, it's me. And I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore. But so, you know, I'm writing the songs, managing the band, playing all the shows, you know, managing everything else and booking. And it's like, oh my God. But I mean, everyone is doing that. So I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
it gets to a point where it's like, I don't know. I'm really hoping that this Telluride thing helps me get better gigs and stuff like that.
Let's talk about that. You are a Telluride Troubadour official finalist for the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, mm-hmm. which means that you will play this Telluride Bluegrass Festival
mm-hmm.
along
yeah,
with
to...
Ryan Adams.
Well, if I win, I get to play
person.
Right after Ryan Adams.
Oh, right after?
Mm-hmm. On
really?
The main stage, yeah.
Wow.
If I win. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, and there's only 10 of us, so I have good chances.
Who, like, do people vote?
I don't know the process. It just tells you what to do. So I have to do two songs. There's a preliminary round. So there's 10.
It looks like it's coming up pretty soon.
It is, June 16th.
Do they give you a plane ticket?
Nope.
You got to find your way. Then they're going to mm-hmm. tell you, like, what, a week before? 2 weeks before? When are they going to tell you?
That 2 days later. So that day, there's a preliminary round. And we do two songs each. Okay, and you have to be kind of strategic about it because if you make it to the finals, you have to do two more songs and they have to be completely different.
Oh, wait, you're going to go there and play.
Yes.
And you're going to do these two songs.
Yes.
That's where I'm confused.
Yes.
So you're already going.
Yes, I'm already going.
And you're going to do this in front of people on a smaller stage?
There's a couple of performances. There's like one where the 10 of us get to perform. We get coaches. We get to go through like some songwriting sessions. We get a lot of great things because we're in the finals. We all win money already. But then once you get to the top five, there's like, you get a custom guitar. The winner gets a custom guitar and $500. Plus they win and they get to play after Ryan Adams. I think second place gets like $300 or $400 and it goes down from there.
Right.
But everybody wins some money as a contestant. But so I know there's a one performance where we all perform. And then there's the preliminary round where we perform again. And I don't know how that's judged. But the fact that I'm even in it at all tells me that I don't know any of those people.
You're going with the high hands, right?
Nope, just me.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm getting ready. I'm training. I'm working on guitar with James Hyland. And Janet Lynn, who's my vocal coach, is working with me on the singing. So, and then they're going to get me. We're all going to get together. And Eldridge wants to come to this. He goes, can I come to that? I was like, oh, I don't know. But we're going to maybe rent a space. And they're going to watch me perform like if I were competing. So that we really kind of critique everything. And so that I
kind of want to hand you my guitar right now.
Oh, God.
Go. Let's see you do this now.
Yeah.
Amanda Ceballos.
I'll do it. I'm not warmed up, but I don't care.
So, okay, so you're going to be up there. Are you going to play some other shows while you're up there?
I'm thinking about it. I mean, they didn't give me much notice. Like, I found out a week ago that I was even in this. So it's like, how am I going to... I had to cancel a tour just to do this. So now I'm like, well, now should I book some...
You canceled the tour to do this?
Absolutely.
Really? It's that good?
Yes. This is a wonderful contest. This is okay. As far as I'm concerned, this is one of the best ones in the nation.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
I've always been weird about contests.
Me too.
I've always just been like, you know what? I'm not going to be in a contest.
I don't like competing. I was just saying this like the week before.
How can I win a contest?
Right. Well, I was like, I don't want to compete with my art. That's stupid. Who's to say that my art
is... It's all totally subjective.
Right. Yep.
Like some guy might like really tall singers.
Right.
And you're going to, you know, or...
I'm tiny.
Maybe they all like tiny singers.
I hope they like tiny singers.
I want to write a song with you called Tiny Honky Tonk.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I love co-writing. I just realized that. I always used to be so overprotective of my songs. Like, no, I'm not going to... No, I wrote this. Like, I went through the hell for this song, you know? So I don't want to co-write. But then I did that song with Will Nakana. My roommate actually wrote it with us too. She was just there hanging out.
Who's your roommate?
Her name is Adrienne Essman. And she's creative, very creative, wonderful person. She just likes, you know, she sees me kind of doing my thing. And I think she's inspired by it. So she came outside and was like, hey, do you mind if I sit out here? We were like, no. We're like, you want to write the song with us? She's like, sure. And next thing you know, the three of us were just cranking out this tune. And it was amazing and quick. I mean, we had it ready to go. And then I wrote another song with Cullen Fox.
Cullen, oh, dude, yeah, that's my man.
I know. We wrote a song called Cottonmouth Kisses. That's for that.
you know, his name when we were on tour together was the Fried Piper, so it goes right along with his Cottonmouth Kisses.
He liked that one a lot, and he's got a funky style, too, so, you know, and I don't know. And so, but for the contest, you can't have any co-writes, so I can't sing any of those songs that I just co-wrote.
Oh, okay, so...
They have to
but
be
you're strong
mine.
As a songwriter.
I think so.
You're right. I mean, how did you... You wrote all these songs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote the whole record.
I like it a lot. Do you have this album on Spotify?
Yeah, absolutely.
And do you...
It might even be like available for download still, because I did that during... I might have to go
you
turn
mean
that off.
On SoundCloud?
Yeah, on SoundCloud.
Yeah, might be.
Might have to shut that down.
Might want to do that.
I was thinking about that. Wait, did I? Because I offered it to people like for voting, like sure. for some, you know.
Well, also, something that was there's a certain amount of like, hey, these people have been getting this stuff for free for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least like paying their Spotify account, whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Like they'll buy the vinyl.
Yeah, they will.
They'll pay $25.
Uh-huh.
This is the weirdest thing. They'll contribute $50 to your Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
They'll buy your vinyl for $28.99 at Waterloo. But they won't buy your album for $9.99 on iTunes.
No. Some people will. I make a little bit on iTunes, but most of it is vinyls and just in person. People want to, like, they want to meet you. They want to... See, they want you to sign it.
Does that ever get weird? We talked about this last time. I remember, like, without even listening to it, I remember this conversation because you told me that sometimes you dance with people.
I do.
And then I was like, oh, Jesus, that just opens the door up to disaster. yeah. ass grabbing, all kinds of like
never
whatever.
Has that never? Ever happened. Okay, no. good. And good. I still right. to, like I have people dancers that'll come to my gig that know that I'm gonna come down there and dance with them, and they'll wait, and I'll go.
That's
I'll
sweet
take a break.
Though too. Yeah. They're like, I want to dance with Amanda.
Yeah, happens all the time. Yeah, Jimmy will sing a couple songs, Jimmy Dreams, and he's like, yes, I get to sing some songs, and I'll go out dancing.
Do you ever read the crowd and see a guy that like you're like, yeah, I'm not dancing with you, buddy. Like
no.
in your mind?
No, okay. no.
They're all good people.
They're all great people. They're all.
You're lucky.
They're, you know, I'm lucky if the dancers are there. I'm just glad they're there. So I'm not going to worry about whether or not I would dance with them because I just want them to dance. Every once in a while, I'll dance them.
Dancing is important to you. Not only did you use it in every sentence you said for the last paragraph, but you were a dance. You got your bachelor's in dance,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
modern dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I miss it a lot. I started an Instagram, but you have to search for it. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's a dance-tagram, and you can.
Is it you dancing?
It's me. Yeah, it's doing improvising. Like I have my new one I posted yesterday is me hula hooping. And I fast-forwarded it, so it looks like I'm just hula-hooping, like, amazing. But I'm really not. I just, like, went outside of Eldridge's bedroom and got his big-ass hula hoop that Brad Hauser made him. And I'm, like, you know, spinning yeah, around. Yeah. I set up my thing, and then I just went onto my iMovie on my phone and sped it up and then made it look funky. And so I post a video, like, twice a week or three times a week. And last time I did one, my old roommate was playing cello live while I was underneath our hammock, filming underneath the hammock, like, just filming myself from above.
Yeah.
And then I'll edit it and post it. So I just really miss dancing and choreographing. So I started that so I could kind of have that so that I wouldn't miss it so much.
How do you satiate outside of having a dance-tagram that you're not going to let anyone see?
I've got a lot of followers.
How does one you do?
Yes. They found it. Don't worry.
It
has been discovered.
How do you satiate that? What, you know, how do you do like... By dancing two-step, by going out and do you go like out to the club on Friday night and like hip-hop dance or
no.
do you go to some crazy?
No, two-stepping has totally filled that void. It has really helped okay. because it's impossible to be sad when you're dancing, I think. And so dancing has really helped me get through a lot of things. And that's why I did that video like that. The video,
it's
you know,
just dancing.
It's just us
but
dancing.
Also a lot of heat.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of like
we were broken up in that video. We were broken up
yeah,
that day.
Yeah, but not for long afterwards.
No,
though,
we got back together that day.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, we're.
I would
crazy.
Be surprised if you got back together at that place.
We probably anyway. Did. We didn't know it, but we were getting back together. By the end of the night, we were back together.
That's a good name for a song.
Yeah, you know, everything is a song. Everything is a song. Everything you say, everything you do.
Everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you canceled the tour. What was your tour supposed to be?
I was going to New York City. I go every year, every summer. And you know what? I
for
hadn't
how,
really.
Do you go for an amount of time or you just go up there on the road?
Well, I go up there on the road. But last time we were there for a month. And it was an idea I had to like resident in New York City and live there with my band and play all month. And that's what we did. It was
Where
amazing.
Did y'all play?
We played every week at the Skinny Dennis and the Lucky Dog. And then we played all of the Hill Country Barbecues.
I bet you did.
It was awesome.
That's a great. I love playing there.
Yeah.
You know that's the only place I ever play that has a giant Texas flag behind me.
Really? Not even here in Texas? Can you? Do
I don't. That? I don't think I play any country places here.
Yeah.
I played a place. Have you ever played this place?
What?
I don't know if I should gossip on this show or if we should keep on in this thing, but I think if you know who I'm talking about, I have a great story.
Tell me.
What's a place called in Houston? Redneck. Country club. The Redneck Country Club.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
It's oh, a gosh. I've never even heard
it's
of that.
It's owned by this crazy right-wing conservative talk show host.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, we had a thing with him. and he threatened to hunt us down and we would never work again. It was pretty interesting.
Weird.
Yeah.
God.
And drama. He makes it... yeah.
Drama.
Drama, man. Does that happen? Have you ever had any kind of like... I mean, because you're a small person.
Yeah, but
have you ever been,
I can kick some ass.
I bet I'm not. I don't doubt that you can kick some ass. But have you ever been put in a situation where there's a scene at the end of the night with like a club owner that, you know, money's weird or, you know, they're
not yet.
Drunk?
Not yet, but I'm sure that'll happen, you know? That's why I'm, you know, I'm going to have
to. That's
why
you got that band.
Yeah, that's why I got the high hands, you know?
Yeah.
Gamblers. They're going to have to start carrying a gun.
So you're going to plan to go to New York later in the
summer? Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to do it at a different time. And so I already spoke to them and let them know, and they're friends of mine. And when they're in Austin, you know, they come to see us when we hang out and stuff like that. So we've become friends over the years. I've been playing there for like 4 years.
The Glossermans?
No, the Skinny Dennis and the Lucky Dog.
Oh, okay.
Same owner in Brooklyn. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, in Williamsburg. It's a cool area, and like I meet people from New York all the time that are like, "Oh yeah, we love the Skinny Dennis. Oh my God, you play there?" Like, okay, we're gonna see you there. And you know, I was like, "Well, I'm not gonna be there. Damn it, kind of sad." But they understand.
What are your gigs now? Or do you have a regular
yeah
Clyde yeah. Bar?
I'm doing Clyde Bar just for the month of May.
Okay.
On Saturdays, but I'm you can pretty much see me for the rest of the summer at the Continental Club every Sunday night.
Oh, nice.
So I've been there for a year now. I just got my first year, one-year anniversary
they
of playing.
Give you a chip?
No, I know, right? I used to get those. But yeah, no, I just like put in my year of time at the Continental Club, which was cool because...
It'd be cool if they gave you like an old car.
Yeah, I know, right?
Steve was like, yeah, here you go, 1962 Corvette.
Huh, no, instead they cut me off. And so they were like, I was drinking too much. They're like, okay, you're cut off. I was like, what? So this was last year. I was telling you, I was having a really hard year.
Oh.
And so they cut me off on Sundays and they said, you can't drink anymore. I was like, okay.
Last time you were here, you were sober. And now you are not?
No.
Is there any kind of weirdness that goes along with that?
No, not really.
Did anybody get in your face? Like, Amanda?
No.
Like, were you drinking?
I think they
and,
wanted
like,
to.
Was like, and someone was like, she's drinking. You know what I mean? Like that thing?
No. Everybody, no one cared as much as I thought they would. I was like, awesome. This is great. I don't have to worry about it. But, you know... It's nice to enjoy a glass of wine, I'm not going to lie. But no, and so they, when I was going having my tough year, the Continental, they were so amazing to me. And they were like, look, we love you. And you're not, you know, you have two options. Either you're fired or you're going to quit drinking on the gig. I don't care what you do after.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're like, you can do whatever
What happens with you when you get drunk at the gig?
Well, I definitely can't perform.
Oh, okay.
So that's all.
Oh, okay. Because you're new. You're a newer musician.
Well, yeah. I mean, I never
it's not
drank.
Like you've I've been never... playing for like 25 years or something. Because I'm like, oh, everyone I know can.
No.
Like, you can't really tell when.
Right.
Unless someone falls down or throws up afterwards or something.
Right.
They
exactly.
can still play for some reason.
Yeah. And see, whenever I first got to Austin, when I started playing with my band, I was sober. So I'd never performed in Austin drunk or had anything in my system ever. So when I started to do that, I had to get my like grounding. I didn't know what to do with myself because I was like, I'd never drank and performed in this town. So I had to figure that out. Now I just like, now, so I stopped drinking, you know, on my gig. And,
that's good.
Yeah. And so, and Diane, who works in there in the Continental, every week, she's like, oh man, you're just doing so great. I love it that you're not drinking. You just sound so much better. And so she's really encouraging. It's really sweet. Yeah. And I like it too. I was like, me too. I'm so glad y'all cut me off.
Well, there is I've noticed at times when I've I'll have a drink or something before I go on, but like, you know, sometimes you have those long gigs and people are buying you the drinks and maybe you're having some kind of personal thing or maybe you just don't even fucking want to be there. So you're just drinking and then all of a sudden you're going to sing and you're like, is this on key? like in your mind?
Yeah, it's like,
is this, I feel like, hey, did you just mess up?
Yeah, it's like, you.
Yeah, it's you.
Yeah.
It's so, you.
And it wasn't like that. It's just, I needed somebody to kind of, you know.
Sure.
Tell me that they cared about me, but let me know that I need to get my shit together. And they did it in the right way, you know?
What time do you play on Sundays?
I play right after Haybell, so we usually don't get up on stage till about 12:30.
Wow.
Really late.
There's some hardcore motherfuckers coming to that show.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, we had Raul Malo came. Wendy Colonna brought Raul Malo to my show. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because it's Sunday night. It's late. So it's for all the people that still want to kind of go out. But they want to go somewhere like the Continental Club and run into some people. So we always have somebody in the audience, fun and cool, and there's always a great crowd.
Yeah.
And it's gotten better. You know, at first it was like they weren't used to it being open. Now now it's like everybody's like rolling in, you know, pretty late. Yeah. And it's nice. And some of our friends will like, you know, Mikey B from Dale Watson's band, drummer.
People come in and jam
they'll
with you. Do you have an open? Hey, come on up, play
They'll just
play
come
this
dance.
Song.
They'll come dance. I always tell people to sit. It's such a short show. I mean, we play till about 1:30. So we play about an hour.
Okay.
And it's usually the majority of it's originals, unless we see some people that are like, we should probably get, you know, play like Queen of Hearts or like something that they'll
you
dance.
Play that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that one. Mm-hmm. And Elvira.
Ass, dude.
We do Queen of Hearts, Elvira, some fun ones, Poncho and Lefty.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You know what we worked up today in Skyrocket is Rhinestone Cowboy.
Nice. That's a great song.
That's a great song.
That's a great
song. More people should be jamming that too.
Yeah. There's all these country songs that I wish I played. Yeah. You can't do them all.
Can you play the gig that I saw you at the Broken Spoke? Can you play Rhinestone Cowboy and no one gets mad at you there? I always feel like there's some kind
of... They're not going to get mad at anything. I mean, you do your thing. They just don't want you to be too loud. You know, because it's in the restaurant.
Yeah.
I was there 5 years. I just kind of stopped doing that show. And
5 years.
5 years.
So what was that, Thursdays?
Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. So, yeah. Okay, so Tuesdays. So what happens, like, do you still get like the, let's get my guitar and start getting, you know what I mean? Because I've had residencies that were
long.
For like a month afterwards, you're like, oh, it's just...
You feel like you're supposed to be somewhere, yeah.
Like you're playing hooky.
Yeah, Tuesdays are interesting for me now because being there for as long as I was and not being there. But I think all good things must come to an end. And I felt like I was just ready to kind of just move on to other things. And I'll always play there, you know, for other ways, you know, I'm sure. So, excuse me. But... Now I'm doing the White Horse on Mondays. So I do every other Monday at 10 o'clock at the White Horse.
That's good.
And I really like that.
And you do that with the band?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a great room. That's a great room for what you do.
It really is. And we're having a blast there and we love it. And
do you feel like that's like the new honky tonk in town?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do. Is that your phone?
It's probably blowing up. Just chicks calling me. John. No, I'm just joking. It's probably my girlfriend going like, hey, did you get something for dinner?
You better say that before you get in trouble.
What?
Well, it's all these chicks. Oh, no, it's probably my girlfriend.
I say so much stuff that I don't even know what I'm saying half the time. It's all true. Is there anything, what are your plans? Okay, so you're going to get out and like really promote this record now.
That's what I'm doing right now.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And
it's, excuse me. And now that, you know... Now that I'm kind of out of this fog, I feel like I actually called Jazz and I was like, Jazz, I don't know what to do. I want to re-release my record. She goes, well, you can do whatever you want because it's your album and you can do whatever you want with your music.
You called Jazz Mills?
Yeah, I did because I was like, I don't know what to do and I need help. And she met with me and she had some incredible ideas of how to, without re-releasing it, but how to put it back out and how to. And so we came up with some ideas and I actually meet with her tomorrow again. And
what are those ideas?
I can tell you. Well, she wants to do like, maybe you can come to this, excuse me, like an industry kind of private party to where it's a listening party. So they all come over to her house. We've got hors d'oeuvres and some wine and they listen to the record. That's it. That's it. And then everybody hangs out.
Yeah.
I can sit there, talk to them. They can ask me questions. I meet everybody and we're going to do like one or two of those and get some reviews and just kind of meet and greet type thing, but private event type thing. So that was one of her ideas. And then I've got a couple ideas. And so we'll see what happens. We're gonna take some pictures.
I did those.
What?
I made some listening parties.
Did you really?
I put out. Yeah. I did one where I DJ'd. We had a listening and then I DJ'd and it was at a clothing store, Factory People, when it was on.
That's a great idea. At a clothing store, huh?
Yeah. Like a cool clothing store.
I like that idea.
Had like DJ tables and
cool.
I spun 70s jams. And,
nice.
And then played my record. Yeah, those things are good. Those are good things to do. Jazz is a smart person.
She is, and I'm playing the new ACL venue, the 310.
Oh yeah.
I got to do the Wind Down Wednesday this year, and so
when is that?
It's June 29th.
Okay.
So I was telling her like, could we use this day? You know, and maybe kind of put the record out again that day and. And we kind of thought about it. So I don't know. Maybe we'll do that day. Maybe we'll do like a little, you know, with the Wind Down Wednesday party or something. We'll see. But I played that venue. I opened for a band a couple weeks ago. And what a cool venue. Their new venue.
Yeah. Who did you open for there?
I don't remember.
That's cool.
I feel bad.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they were listening right here?
Oh, like, God. God, I hope damn it, Amanda. Because one of the guys bought my shirt, and he was so sweet, and he was like, wore it on stage.
Dude, he's going to be pissed already because you gave me my shirt, and you charged him for his.
Well, he didn't ask me for one. Well, I didn't ask you for one either.
You're just giving stuff to me, not to him.
But I couldn't give the whole band one. You know, I was like, you can't give an entire band your shirt. You can give one. You're just one person when you come around sometimes. You know, I can give you something, but I can't give five guys something. Something Revival Waterloo Revival or something like that. Yeah. Waterloo.
That's a name. I've seen that name.
Yeah. And they were so nice and great singers. And they were living in Nashville and they were telling us how, you know, they wanted to move there because they wanted to play arenas. And I'm like, so you just moved to Nashville and now you're playing arenas? And they were like, yeah. I'm like, whoa. Okay. I'm not moving to Nashville. It's not happening.
Do you really want to play arenas?
No.
I mean,
I don't know, but I don't want to live in Nashville.
I would, but it would have to be some kind of gradual. I couldn't go tomorrow and all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Rattle and Hum by U2?
Mm-mm.
Man, those guys went from playing like theater kind of things to playing like football stadiums.
Yeah.
And like they weren't ready.
Really?
You could see, yeah, they're like very confusing. That's cool. That's a hard thing to have to go through. And also, they're filming a movie about it that's going to come out in theaters.
Wow.
Terrible. Anyway, yeah, that's tough. Okay, so you're doing the wind down. That's a Austin Music Foundation thing.
Is it?
I've been doing stuff with them, yeah.
Yeah, I think KUT is sponsoring it, and it's a couple of other people. And then they have like a pop-up, like clothing or something. And then wine, of course. They're pairing or featuring some winery each week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to do that. So I'm excited.
What else is going on? There's another show I saw you were playing. Something with a number.
That's the 310.
Oh, that's it. No. There was something else.
Oh, huh.
No. I was looking at your...
Oh, gosh.
The release that you sent me, and I memorized some stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, June 1st, we're doing Sun Radio.
Oh, nice. At Wero's?
Uh-huh.
I love that. That's a great gig, man.
Yeah. We're doing that one. Yeah. Excited about that one.
Let me ask you this, Amanda. This is a question that I like to get into, is because I've always wondered, like, how do you, because that's a crowd that's there. I mean, like, when I played there, there is, like, I mean, a ton of people, but you're thinking to yourself, like, how do I hold on to them? Not at the place, but after tonight.
Yeah.
Like, how do I get all these people to come back and see me play outside of a killer show?
Right.
What do you do?
Well,
you have a mailing list person? Do you dance
with a lot
of people?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe when there's a big crowd like that, I should do more Taylor, I worked for him for a long time, for 5 years. And he would you would fill out a raffle.
Yeah.
And then he would give away something free. And so he would have all those emails. And then I would enter each one of them because I worked for him. So he'd bring me this stack. And sometimes after like a couple weeks, I'd have a really big stack and then I would do them all at once. But we usually would do them on that Monday right away. But yeah, so maybe doing a raffle that day would be fun to collect all those emails and then give something away.
Find some way. Yeah. Think about it. It's coming up. Don't let that go by because that's seriously
point.
Like I don't know how many people it is, but it seems like 200. It could be 75,
it's a good crowd.
But it is a good crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good crowd.
And you want them to get, and they're music fans.
They are. Yeah, and I think they're also fans of that radio station, so that's good.
Has that radio station given some love to the record?
I didn't even send them one.
We gotta get some stuff. I gotta call Jazz tonight.
Yeah.
And intervene.
Yeah, I know. See, that's my point. It's like that's kind of how I've been. Like, it's almost like I don't know. I can't even explain it.
No, I understand. Life got in the way of your
life
shit.
Got lifey.
Yeah, got lifey. You got like, damn, I can't like. Sometimes the show has to stop.
Yeah.
Which is a drag. It must go on eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to come back and clean up this crazy mess.
Yeah.
Look at you now.
Yeah, and I'm doing that. I know, I'm a mess.
No, you're not.
But
you're a lovely person.
Thank you. But this Telluride thing really like it just made me realize that, you know that I don't know. I guess I was just thinking it's too late for this, it's too late for that, and it's not.
Too late for what?
Like, to send anything out or to... I missed my chance or whatever. And it's like, no, you didn't.
Not if you make a good record, man.
It's true. I know. And what the funny thing is, I mean, I wish this hadn't happened. I wish it would have been because I sent it out. But I've still, people have asked me for it, like people that are playing DJs and stuff like that. And so I've gotten them kind of coming to me, which is interesting. So that was like, wow.
That's
kind of
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's still getting out there. It's just not as like, and I don't have the big budget for that anyway. So I have to do it slowly.
No, but there are, I mean, you can go and give Kevin and all those guys records at Sun Radio. Like,
yeah.
Me telling you, like,
should I just drive over there?
Yeah,
take some, like,
yeah.
I was thinking of driving over there with some
breakfast tacos.
Some donuts.
Donuts or some shit. That's what people do. That's cool.
I know.
You know,
I need to do that.
I asked that guy, Will Taylor, to be on my show.
Did you?
Yeah. I think it was after you were on last time.
Did he do it?
No. He really did not seem like he wanted to do it.
Oh, I think he does.
Well,
I don't think he realized what you were doing.
He said, it was all pretty explanatory.
Huh, interesting.
But he did say he would do it if he could record his own side of the conversation himself. Like, be like, if you...
Oh.
And then send it to me. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to sit here and put our conversations. Like, just come over to my house.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just lost communication.
Okay, yeah.
Or something. Anyway,
yeah. Will's a time saver. He doesn't, I don't know, he doesn't always like to travel. But, you know, he's very, like, focused on time.
Yeah.
But...
That's good.
Yeah, and it made
I think
me
he went to high
that.
School with me.
Really?
Yep, but I don't think we knew each other then.
He's funny. He would be a good interview. I think we talked about that, and we talked about a couple people
that's
that would
why,
be fun.
That's why I went. That's,
yeah.
That's and you were like, oh, you should talk to Jonathan.
Did
and
I tell
like,
you that?
And then like 3 years later, I did.
That's great.
See, I took your advice. Just
I
want to
hear
time.
That. Oh, gosh. I want to hear that.
It was just a couple weeks ago.
Cool. Is it already out online?
It's out. Yeah.
Great.
I mean, it came out a couple weeks ago. We did it like a while back. His record's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a record that he had recorded a while back ago.
Yeah,
and
there's a lot of that
at Jason's.
Going on.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you know John Evans?
I know John Evans. Yeah,
I like that guy.
He
put
I like
out
him
a record
a lot
that
too.
He made a while back.
Really?
Yep. It comes out Friday.
Wow.
It's right. In
I kind of want to put it. I want to put an album out that like does all the so people can hear the like the cover songs that we do. But I don't want to put a cover record out. But I just love those old country songs like. Like Elvira and, you know, Queen of Hearts.
Who sings the giddy up boom bop?
The guys.
Boom.
Eldridge
well, yeah,
and
no.
Jimmy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Eldridge usually does that, but Jimmy will do it too. They both kind of.
Juice Newton. Is that really her name?
I don't
no.
know. But my sister said they saw her perform at Wild West in Houston a long time ago and that, you know, she was drunk as shit, but she killed it. I was like, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but. She's amazing. I love her voice, and I didn't want to do that song because I was like, God, it's almost like it's such a cool song, and I just don't want to ruin it. And you know, but over time, we've kind of made our own little like an arrangement of it, and it's great. It's fun, and people get up in the, at the Continental Club at 1 a.m. They are dancing their ass off, so it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was in the time of like Eddie Rabbit.
Yeah.
And shit like that.
Yeah, it was really good 80s. You know, country.
Yeah.
Or
you
90s?
Know, today when No. It was like early 80s. Today we worked on, I think we got to play all these country songs at this party that we're playing.
Cool.
This weekend, but 7 Year Ache.
Oh, that's a great
you know,
song.
Oh, yeah. What a great song that is.
Is that Roseanne Cash?
Roseanne Cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love her.
I love her too, man. She's cool.
She has a record out. It's old, but it's called The List. Have you heard that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that record.
In fact, the guy that I did this podcast before you came here, he was her publisher a few years ago when that came out, and he sent me
amazing.
Got a couple of autographed albums from her. He was
what?
Because he knew I really liked her.
You already recorded a podcast today? Another one? Or was this
No, this
oh,
was
okay.
last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
What number are you on?
It's like 487.
That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's really cool.
Can you believe that?
It's an honor. Thank you. Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah.
It's
but
an
I can't.
Honor. You've been on twice.
I can't believe it, and I can't believe it.
The third time you get a chip. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make AA jokes.
Do I have to put a note? Okay. Do I have to put a record out every time? I don't mind.
Well, no. No, you can just come over.
Yeah.
I mean.
I appreciate that.
Is there anything that I'm missing? I'm really sorry about your mom. That's a tough thing. I remember now seeing some pictures of you with her.
Actually, I think on the last one on the last podcast, I remember the very last thing I said was something about my mom.
What'd you say?
I was talking about the blog I wrote about her. Remember? I was like, well, I just want to say this one thing about my mom. And you're like, go ahead. And I wrote this blog. I had this blog about her for years because she's my best friend, you know? So it's like, she's so funny. And she says funny shit because she's Hispanic and she's an older lady. So she like messes everything up. She changes all my friends' names and shit. So you know, and I just think she's funny. So I started writing this blog about the things that she says and then just kind of talking about life and family and things like that. And I kind of, that was the last thing I talked about on the last podcast.
You have a blog on your website. That's the blog. It's everybody makes that. Isn't it funny? Like everyone starts a blog, but I know unless you could turn it. I know people that have turned it into like a career.
I know,
because they're so funny. Blogging. They get writing jobs.
Yeah, I enjoyed blogging, and I should do more of that. But I don't know. So maybe I'm learning new things right now. I'm learning.
What are you learning?
I'm learning how to make jewelry, and I'm learning how I'm doing woodwork, and I'm also learning how to make hats, and I'm learning the bass, and I'm just in this crazy like learning phase right now where all I want to do is learn things, and I'm teaching myself things and watching tons of videos and having people show me stuff. And
it's funny, you can just YouTube and Google yourself right into like a degree.
That's what I'm doing. I'm serious. I've watched how to make hats probably for the last 2 years.
What kind of hats? Like weaving or
the cowboy hats? And I'm also gonna sew straw hats. So
really?
Teaching myself how to do that. Yes, absolutely. I'm completely obsessed with hats. I have my whole room is full of hats. My whole bedroom is covered. They're hanging from the walls, and then I just put in a workbench in my bedroom with all my tools. I even just got one of those tool pegboard thingies. And I like got the little to hang all my stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in the process of figuring out all the things I need. And I've got like, you know, a jigsaw, and I've got, you know, some Dremel stuff and just all kinds of stuff. So I'm having a lot of fun doing that.
Do you know this lady, Denise Quintanilla?
Yeah, I do know her.
Fellow Hispanic like us.
And she's making the little necklaces.
She makes necklaces. Yeah. My girlfriend has a couple of them.
They're adorable. Yeah. You know, other people have done that, and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
I got to figure out how to do that, because I have all the tools. I could totally make one of those myself. And I even have the stones and the bullets. But I just, you know, whatever. Learning other things.
It's funny when you say, I even have... Who did the artwork for this?
Zachary Nelson, and he has a website called easywheelin.com. And he also did Ray Wiley Hubbard's last record, where he's like at the crystal ball. Zachary drew the frame around that. Yeah.
Really?
And then Erin Brooke took the photo for that, for Ray Wiley. And so she told me about him.
Oh, really?
And she had just taken my pictures, and possibly one of her photos was going to be the cover. But she is so cool and sweet, and we really didn't get a cover shot, and we all knew it. And she goes, why don't you contact this guy? I just worked with him. He might be able to do something for you, like a drawing. And I ended up hiring him. So she kind of gave away her cover to him, which was really sweet.
That's nice.
It was nice.
The album is called Got Me Where You Want Me. Amanda Ceballos. The band is Amanda Ceballos and the High Hands. I'm trying to think of something that I might have missed. And I'm looking closely. Oh, you are clothed. I was like, are you naked?
No, I have a slip on.
I think everyone should be naked at least on one album cover, right?
I agree. It's just boobs. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Mine are getting to where they're pretty fancy. They're... I get like,
you getting compliments? I don't know.
Not at all. No, I'm getting like under boob sweat. I need to do some push-ups. I need to get on the upper body.
Yeah, because it's getting
and
hot.
When you get older, it gets all gloopy.
Does it?
It does. It does. I'm and not your boobs to like that. Your boobs. It's not. It's weird. As a dude, you're kind of like, wow, this is what they. You know. Yeah.
You call them boobs once you get older.
I gotta stop doing that. I gotta stop calling them boobs. My pecs.
There you go. Yeah, you gotta like, you gotta visualize your way into like getting.
They're not like a Calvin Klein model. They're more like.
What's his name? Beckham.
No, they're not like that. They're more like your old aunt's sad.
Why are my aunts gotta be saggy? Like, I'm kidding.
All of my aunts have fake boobs.
Oh my God.
So I had to throw your aunts under the bus.
I could never.
Well, they had to. They had the cancer in the breasts.
Wow.
And had the breasts removed.
And so they put other ones on.
Yeah. And so before we end this thing, they can do the most awesome thing. And when they have a couple of drinks, I start making them do it. They can move their boobs individually.
God. Your aunts are going to kill you.
No. They love it.
Okay.
They love that I love it. Because I'll be like, do the boob thing. It's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, they're great. Amanda, you're great.
Thank you.
people can go to AmandaCeballos.com. Can they get the vinyl from there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you can order the vinyl from there. You can always go to a show.
Yeah.
And you are doing Sundays at the Continental Club, 12:30, and every other Monday at the
White Horse.
White Horse.
Yeah. Yep. 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're going to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, stick around after Ryan Adams because Amanda might be playing.
You just never know.
You just when do we find out about that?
During the contest, so like June 16th through the 19th.
Okay.
So I think the 19th is the performance after Ryan Adams, and you know, I don't know.
This will be coming out around the beginning of June.
Yeah, I'm visualizing that I'm gonna get that far.
I'm visualizing that you are too. What are you gonna wear? Probably a hat?
Of course. Always. Yeah. I'll probably wear something of mine and maybe something I made. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to wear my guitar.
You got to. All right. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you. Ain't your baby. Maybe
you forgot which baby I am. Yeah. Amanda Ceballos. Her album, Got Me Where You Want Me, available now. You can also find it on vinyl. Go to AmandaCeballos.com. You can also find out when you can get out and see Amanda Ceballos and the High Hands, her band, which plays every Sunday at the Continental Club at 12:30. All right? Hey, thank you guys for listening. I want to thank Amanda for coming by. Great conversation. Pick up her album, Got Me Where You Want Me. And while you're out there on the internet looking up stuff about Amanda Ceballos, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the app Stitcher for your pad or phone and stream this podcast. We have new shows that come out every Tuesday and every Friday. And don't forget, if you like one, share it on social media. We don't have an advertising thing. We just use word of mouth. So if you like a show, like for instance this one, you're an Amanda Ceballos fan, you want to get this out there, you like it, share it on your Twitter, share it on your Facebook, share it on your Pinterest. Do what you got to do, all right? Thank you so much for listening. Here's some more music from Amanda Ceballos. This is the title track from her album, Got Me Where You Want Me, all right? Have a great, great day. Let's get down. I can tell, but I ain't telling half of my heart. The whole truth. I know you think I'm all or nothing. I'll tell you why, 'cause I wanna be your something. You got me where you want me, but you don't want me that bad. And it's sad. It's so sad. Don't